On February 15th, the U.S. Mint will release its latest edition of U.S. currency, a new series of $1 coins. But $1 coins haven't been well received in the recent past. In the second part of today's underreported series, we will look into what it might take to make Americans accept $1 coins. Also, some other coin and currency issues like, should the penny be abolished? With me now are Austin Goolsbee, a professor of economics at the University of Chicago. Also, Douglas Mudd, curator of the American Numismatic Association's Money Museum. He's the author of a book called All the Money in the World, which is published by HarperCollins, and I'm very pleased to welcome them both to my show. Hi.
Hi. Hello.
So let's begin with you, Douglas. Why do you think the U.S. Mint is releasing a new series of $1 coins when the $1 coins have had difficulty catching on for quite a while?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Basically, the $1 coin stands to save the government quite a bit of money each year in that they last longer than paper dollar notes.
You mean it's cheaper to make, to mint a coin out of metal, which costs real money, than to print something on paper?
No, it's not cheaper. It's about four times more expensive, but the coins will last on average for about 30 years in circulation as opposed to 18 months for a $1 note.
One of the objections that people have had in the past is that they're just too close in size to quarters, and they sometimes give you a dollar when they intended to just give you a quarter.
Sure. That was certainly the case with the Susan B. Anthony dollars. With the Sacagawea dollars, they overcame most of those issues because those coins are a little bit bigger than a quarter and a different color, obviously.
But we're not seeing a lot of those either. The only time I ever see the Sacagawea coins is when I go to the post office, and that's what comes down in change.
Right. That's been one of the perennial problems, is if these coins aren't accepted by most vending machines and automatic machines of all types, then why would somebody want to carry a pocket full of these coins that are heavier and less convenient than a dollar bill, which is acceptable in any Coke machine and things like of that sort?
Professor Goolsbee, a listener wrote in to point out that the Sacagawea dollar is very popular in Ecuador. And we looked it up, and sure enough, it's true. I can't imagine why it's popular in Latin America more than in the United States.
Well, you know, it's probably the American currency is actually extremely popular overseas because you don't have to worry about them printing money and hyperinflation and what is going to happen to the value of it. And you can see why they would be interested in coins, because they last longer. So it's almost like setting up a whole separate money supply in these other countries. So if they had a $20 coin, I'm sure they'd be very interested in using that.
Well, in Europe, we see coins that are the equivalent of the half dollar, the dollar and up, and they're very popular. Is it just that they're the only ones available and so people have no choice? Or are Americans different?
Well, a little of both of those. It tends to be for all kinds of money, when you get rid of something that exists that people are used to, they grouse about it. And then after some years, once people are used to what the new thing is, nobody thinks anything of the fact that there is no longer a whatever bill or a whatever coin. In Canada, if you look at Canada, where they're at least pretty similar to us, they still have their very small coins, which I know we're going to talk about pennies. They've also gone through a conversion. They try to get people to use the dollar coin that had a bird on the back, so everybody called it the loony because it was a loon on the back of the coin. And they use it, but they're living it, but they're not loving it. So there is a big element of, if you're used to using the money that you have, you don't like something to change. But, and it's very hard to get out of that.
But we even got rid of the half-dollar coins, didn't we? When I was a kid,
they
were ubiquitous.
People use that for transactions. The half-dollar coins, were much rarer than, say, dimes, nickels, and quarters. So it might not be as problematic to get rid of a coin like that.
Douglas Mudd, what's going to be featured on these new $1 coins, and are they being made for general circulation or with collectors in mind?
Well, they're being made for both, actually. The dollar coins are going to feature the U.S. presidents in the order that they served. And from that standpoint, that's what's going to get the collectors excited, because the Mint is trying to follow up on the success of the Statehood Quarters program, where with changing designs, this got collectors excited about collecting one of every design from every mint, and almost certainly that's going to be the case for the dollar coin. So there's going to be a large market for collectors who are going to be filling their little cardboard books and folders and everything else.
And there must be a lot of collectors, because I often see ads in magazines for special collector's edition coins.
Sure. That's one of the great successes of the quarter program, is that after the silver was taken out of U.S. coins, there was a perennial complaint by collectors that there was nothing to look forward to in U.S. coins. You didn't see older coins circulating nearly as much as you had beforehand. They were losing a whole generation of collectors. Now, the Statehood coins, basically what's happened is you've got grandmothers and grandfathers and parents and kids all going out and buying these coins or taking them out of circulation to collect because of the different designs on them. They're looking at the coins. And so the Mint has estimated there's something like 120 million collectors of Statehood quarters currently.
So the government doesn't mind that coins are being taken out of circulation?
There's a huge irony in this. Normally, if you thought about it, the government wouldn't mind if you took the coins out of circulation, because they make money on every coin. Okay, they make a coin, they make a quarter. Let's say it costs them 1 to 2 cents, 3-4 cents to make a quarter, and you buy it for 25 cents. Okay, that's seigniorage, and the government makes money off of that. The huge irony is that they're now releasing these new nickels, and they're about to release these new pennies, but those coins cost more to manufacture than they're worth. So this is the government providing a subsidy to collectors, if you will.
Sure.
They're selling coins at less than the cost of the material to make them, which is monetarily insane.
Well, why even do that? Aren't there metals?
No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't.
Can't they get
that.
Aluminum or something that would? Because in the old days, of course, silver dollars were really made of silver,
right?
And pennies were made out of copper. Nickels were made out of nickel.
Right.
But aren't
Look,
they
you
now?
You got to do one of two things when this happens. And the root of the problem, especially for a very small coin like a penny, is that the penny's fixed at 1 cent in nominal dollars. And so no matter what you make it out of, just general inflation is going to mean that whatever it's made out of is eventually going to be worth more than 1 cent. And they were making them out of copper. They got too expensive. They switched to primarily being zinc with a coating of copper. Now the zinc is too expensive. They've got to debase it into something else. Or the alternative, that there's a guy at the Chicago Fed is saying, we should just declare pennies to be nickels, and then we get around the problem.
Right, and this has been a perennial problem with the Mint. What do you do with these low-value coins when the content is more expensive than their actual denomination value?
So why not just offer one-penny bills?
One penny dollar bill?
No, one penny bills.
That's been done in the past.
Think of it this way. The bills, you got to keep printing them every 18 months because they fall apart. So with the coin, you certainly don't want to be doing something that your paper is an inexpensive product, but it's also not very durable.
Yeah.
So it ends up in the long run being very expensive to go with bills.
And we've done that in the past historically, in the days when a cent was worth about a cent because of its content of copper, the hard coinage would disappear from circulation. And during the Civil War, for example, fractional notes appeared where they had paper money that was valued at a cent, 15 cents, 25 cents, this kind of thing. But it is not a long-term solution. As far as using different metals, we've actually experimented with anything from, in World War II, a plastic cent to in 1974 an aluminum cent, but for a variety of reasons, those were never accepted. In the current case, as Austin has said, there's discussion of re-tariffing the coins. That's probably not a great solution, but it's a possibility. Or simply phasing the cent out altogether.
A listener suggests that we issue donut coins.
And that is another solution that's had its day as well.
Save the money of what's in the middle?
Yes, there was a dollar coin in the days when gold was still being used for U.S. coinage. The dollar coin, because of inflation, was getting smaller and smaller. And one proposed solution at one point was to create a coin with a hole in it, because you could make the coin larger and thus harder to lose, easier to use.
Austin, would widespread use of a $1 coin have a noticeable effect on the U.S. economy? Maybe people would spend their dollars more freely if it was just a coin.
I don't think almost certainly not. Currency itself is a almost minuscule part of the overall money and purchasing supply in the country. And then you say one specific coin, would it change people's behavior relative to the dollar bills that they currently have? The only thing I could think of would affect the economy is might decrease the demand for supersized wallets, you know, and coin purses would demand for coin purses would go up. But I think anything where you're talking about these small bills or small coins, I don't think it has much aggregate effect. It's more just a people's everyday monetary use effect.
But there is an emotional and psychological connection that people have to the money they're used to. You reach in your pocket, for example, and you know just by the feel what the coin is. You don't have to think twice about it. When I go to Europe, of course, I have to start looking at all of the numbers on all the coins because I'm not familiar with them.
Yeah, but does that change how much you spend? I mean, they changed the $20 bill. I got pink ones in my wallet, you know, stuff that I didn't associate with what a $20 bill was. And it took me a little time to adjust to that. But it's not like I spend $20 bills more freely because they're pink. I just think it will have perhaps an emotional impact on you. I just don't think it will have an economic impact.
So let's
get... Yeah, I mean, people don't look at money in that way. I mean, sure, if you carry cash around, you're going to spend it. It doesn't matter whether it's coins or paper
right.
money. And among collectors, there is an emotional attachment to any type of coinage or paper money just because you're a collector. But there's also one basic fact about people and money is that people tend to be very conservative about money. And a great example is the U.S. cent, which most people know as the penny. And the United States has not used pennies since before this country was a nation. You know, that was a British denomination, but we still use that for our smallest coinage. And so there'll be, as Austin mentioned, you know, in Canada, griping about the change in the type of money, but people accept what they get, and patterns of usage, in our case with the dollar coin, the real problem will be what can you use a dollar coin in? If you can use the dollar bill to buy Coke and you can't use a dollar coin, people are going to prefer the dollar bill, especially since it's lighter, easier to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not as heavy in your pocket. Well, just one more thing before we go. You mentioned the proposal to make the penny into a 5-cent piece. In fact, Austin, you recently wrote in the New York Times about that. What would that mean? Will we be rounding things out to the nearest nickel?
Yeah, that's the that's when you get rid of your penny. You could still have, just like when you go to the gas station, they're actually using increments that are less than a cent. They've got that sneaky little 9/10 of a cent thing up on the sign. So when you do your transaction, they round it for you. They round up to the nearest penny, and the same thing would happen if you got rid of pennies is your bill would come to $9.42, and then they'd say, okay, well, that's $9.40 because we don't have any pennies to give you.
As a listener points out, when he travels, he discovers all those third world countries have beautiful multicolored bills with many different inks and elaborate graphics. So how are they able to print paper money? And when we can't, I understand that I guess they don't change hands as much in third world countries? Or is it just that they're willing to
print? A lot of what drives the U.S. Decisions also is the desire of people to counterfeit our money. So, you know, let's say you go to Bolivia. There might not be a huge counterfeiting market of Bolivian currency, but there is a huge group of people trying to counterfeit U.S. money. So if you got to be very careful about what you make the bills out of. And
well, listen, yeah,
and we've got two issues going there too. Since the U.S. dollar is the most commonly used currency in the world, you know, with the euro catching up. One of the issues has always been we want to produce something that people recognize as a dollar. So we've always been very conservative about our changes in the look of our paper money because we've got people all over the world who often don't speak English and aren't as familiar with the features on them. They want to see something they're familiar with. And this affects how we go about our changes. We can't change to something totally new immediately without a long period of allowing people to know that we're going to do this. Some other countries have done this that aren't third world countries as well. You know, the Australians and New Zealanders have produced wonderful currency. They're no longer using paper. They're using a polymer.
Yeah, well, they could use Tyvek, as one listener suggested. By the way, we've run out of time, but I really want to thank you both so much for being with us, and I can't wait for the time when those pennies that I've been saving will be worth real money because they'll be taken out of circulation. My guests have been Douglas Mudd, curator of the American Numismatic Association's Money Museum, author of a book called All the Money in the World from HarperCollins, and Professor Austin Goolsbee, a professor of economics at the University of Chicago. It's been a pleasure.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Leonard.